You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to a brand new episode of, Kyle, what's the name of the show?
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is episode six.
Six or seven.
One of these days, we're going to figure out how many of these shows we've actually done here in the Podcast Detroit Studios. But like I said, we're here in the Podcast Detroit Studios once again with a brand new episode of Knockouts and Three Counts. We're missing one of our fellas right now, but the rest of us, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. Let's start with the gentleman to my right.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, stage right. What's going on, everybody? This is Kyle, a.k.a. Chaos.
And why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there for the people real quick?
That would be at Team Chaos, TEAMKAYOS, on Twitter and Instagram. And Facebook is Kyle J. Campbell.
All righty. And let's go to the other Kyle.
The token white guy in the group. My name's Kyle, man. You can find me on Twitter at Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T, and on Facebook at Kyle Collison.
All righty. And I am Devin McKenzie. You can hit me up on Twitter at Devin63. That's D-E-V-I-N-T-H-E-6-3. You can hit me up on Instagram at Allsteak No Sizzle. And hit me up on Facebook, too, Devin McKenzie. We have a packed show, ladies and gentlemen. We have two guests in the studio. We're going to bring them in a little bit later. We're going to start off talking a little bit of wrestling because we have a very special guest calling in. I'll save that for later when he calls in. But we have a special guest calling in. So we're going to change the format up a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit of wrestling first. Next week, we're going to be doing our Survivor Series preview show. So we're going to be long form on our wrestling, but right now we're just going to talk a little bit of stuff that we've missed since, you know, we skipped a week. Last time we talked, we were getting ready for TLC. So that card was not good, but then it became pretty good.
That was an interesting show. I gotta say that the pay-per-views this year, I mean, granted it's gone up and down, but right. A lot of the B-list shows actually surprised me a little bit. I've been surprised with some of the ones that haven't been. Granted, we haven't had Survivor Series, but not the big four.
Right.
But we have Money in the Bank. That was surprising. Payback. That was surprising.
How about Hell in a Cell?
Hell in a Cell.
We're there live for that one.
Yes, sir.
All I got to say about TLC is thank God for viral meningitis.
You know, it's
the one and only time somebody would ever be thinking of viral meningitis.
It really says something where you can accidentally catch a disease and it'd be the best booking that the company's had pretty much all year.
Because, like, we really weren't that excited for TLC because we didn't even put a water bet on that pay-per-view. Good thing we didn't because
your ass got soaked again.
That's partially true. But what did you think about the card, Kyle?
At first, I was a little bit skeptical when it came to them bringing Kurt Angle back. But to be honest, I mean, being a kid that grew up watching him and stuff like that, it was cool to have him back. It turned out better than I expected. I mean, we've been calling it for months now that Strowman was going to turn babyface.
Right.
That's pretty much where they're going to go with that now. I think as a whole, I think the whole Shield thing kind of saved it, and the AJ Styles versus Finn Balor match was great. I'd really like to see them kind of turn that into them becoming the club again or whatever they're going to play, however they're going to play that. But I was pleasantly surprised.
I was too, man. What about you, Kyle?
I was a little apprehensive about them bringing the Shield back. Like I said, I don't think it had been long enough for them all to be cemented as, or I say it like this, they all have been world champions since the Shield broke up.
Right.
But when you think a lot of the title reigns, Roman, whether you're a Roman fan or not, he hasn't been a great champion when he has been champion. Seth's major title reign was taken away because of injury, no fault of his own. Dean's title reigns didn't really excite anybody, which is why I think they took the belt off him and put it on AJ.
AJ Styles.
I love that. But the thing that really gets me is that it just seemed too soon. to put the three of them back together as the Shield with only a couple year layoff, we really didn't get enough time to miss them being the Shield, because before they even did the brand split, they still had Dean and Roman still kind of tagging together. You know, they still had a little bit of the Shield left in them. You would still have certain storylines where if one of them was getting jumped, the other one would come run down and kind of help him out. So it still kind of felt like almost like they were co-workers that just weren't working together anymore to come hang out every now and again. So had they had a complete split, let them go away, and then I don't think they should have did the Dean and Seth thing first. I think they just should have went full Shield. Just throw the three of them back together. Just give us the Shield, because kind of teasing it with Dean and Seth as the tag team, well, we all knew, okay, yeah, you're going to throw in Roman, and then it's just the Shield
again.
Yeah,
but I mean, you had to, I mean, with the big beef between the two of them, and they had already been fighting, you know, previously, you kind of almost had to, like, have them do it and be like, okay, they're missing the third piece. I mean, it just adds the little bit of a build to it.
I'm glad to see the Shield back, but at the same time, I just think it's another way for them to try to get Roman Reigns over, man.
It was working until he got sick.
The second I saw him, like, well,
it was working until he got sick. I mean, hell, they beat the hell out of that big son of a bitch.
Once again, thank God for viral meningitis. I enjoyed the show. As far as TLC goes, I enjoyed the show.
Kurt looks old.
He does.
He looked old.
They had to get him out of there, you know, somehow, and, you know, Braun Strowman throws him through a table.
He still tossed the shit out of Cesaro, though.
That was a match thinking of Kurt coming back, and granted, I haven't had my mind, you know, thinking about it because we knew he's an authority figure, but that's a match I didn't really know I wanted to see.
Right.
But if he comes back full-time, that's probably the third person after Joe and AJ Styles I want to see him go against.
But for me, man, the moment was the two leaders of the Bullet Club going one-on-one, man.
That was
it. When I saw that, I'm like, all
right.
Yeah.
That was worth the price of admission right there just to see that. And that was a good match. It wasn't a great – it's not going to be in the top five best matches of this year.
Right.
But that was a good match.
And – I kind of wish they had more of a build-up for it, but they literally threw it together last
but at least
How about AJ Styles being the hardest-working man in the company?
Okay,
the
but at least month. They didn't just throw it away, though, because then they played it out the next day to where AJ plays the, oh, I'm staying there for Raw, just for them to come through and ransack that bitch. I mean,
That match he had the next night on Raw was really good, too.
He went up again.
He had a six-man.
He had a six-man match, but he's still – I didn't think he was going to really do that much in it, but he did more than I thought he did having a match that Sunday. And then the, what, five-second match he had against one of the Singh brothers on SmackDown. I'm like, okay, you wrestled pretty much at least over a half hour in the last 2 days. What are you going to do on Tuesday? And then it was a five-second match. So I'm like, all right, I'm not mad at that squash match.
Well, this is a good transition into our next topic, the releases. What did you think about Asuka versus Emma?
I was surprised.
I thought Emma. Did Emma well.
Yeah, I was surprised at that. I was surprised that they let Emma look that powerful. I mean,
I think they knew she was on the way out for a minute, bro. I think they gave her a push just so that she could do something big on her way out. I think they knew she was on her way out.
From what I heard, they knew, and they didn't tell her. They knew that Friday that they were going to let her to go, and they didn't tell any of them because they actually let Darren Young go to a Clippers game with Titus and I think Becky Lynch, and they still knew they were going to release him.
I didn't even see anything about him being there though.
Yeah, he was. He was there. That like they really kind of did the three. Well, I wouldn't say dirty, but they knew that they were going to release.
Well, Darren Young doesn't surprise me. Neither does Summer Rae. I mean, Summer Rae ain't been doing nothing except modeling at this point. But.
Summer Rae is that. I forgot. I thought she had gotten released before they started talking about. I thought it was just a quiet release.
So, I know this is bad of me for not even remember her name. So, who was all red everything? What's her name?
Eva Marie.
Why hasn't she been released?
She was.
She's gone.
That was earlier this year.
She's been gone, like, shortly after she got suspended.
See, so that's sort of the thing. Like, Summer Rae as well. It's like
I forgot about it.
I wasn't sure if she was released or not. I know she hadn't been on TV anymore.
Well, I think they by like contract got to keep like on their Instagram and all that stuff that they're still WWE superstar until they cut them.
Because that's how Eva Marie kind of did it. She telegraphed it because she took all the WWE superstar diva stuff off her Instagram, and then about a week later, that's when they actually officially wished her good well in her future endeavors.
So is it fair to say that the one that kind of caught everybody by surprise was Emma being released?
Well, because Emma had the big push.
Right. Because, I mean,
the other ones weren't doing shit, so that was no...
I thought that was a pretty damn good match with her and Asuka and TLC, and then the night after on Monday Night Raw.
And I'm like, okay, all right, they gave Emma a chance. All right, this is this is pretty interesting. And then she's gone.
So do you guys see anybody else being released coming up soon?
Unless it's Neville, not anybody that I can think of off the top of my head.
Nobody I can think of. I mean, anybody. They're not going to release. They're not going to release Paige. Obviously,
They're already gearing up for Paige.
They're gearing up for her to come back, and this thing they don't like really releasing anybody when they're injured. Only person I can really think that's been sidelined with injury is Big Cass, but that was sad.
He blew out his knee. They ain't going to get.
They're not going to release him. Plus, that's a great storyline coming back.
Plus, he's a big son of a bitch.
You know, he's a Vince guy.
Vince is a big sweaty man.
Vince loves him.
Big son of a bitch, got the New York accent.
Oh, yeah. Needs a better finishing move, though. The Empire Elbow shit.
And he needs a better fucking theme song.
Oh, God. That's so much generic. That is some generic superstar number three music, man.
How do you go from a fucking rap song to, like, your generic ass...
Like. That was horrible, man. Like, and everything about it, like the way they changed his color scheme to like red, white, and blue with the graffiti. I like the graffiti tag, but I'm like,
that shit was stupid.
Jason Jordan's is awful. Jason Jordan's is awful too. Like they really ruined it.
They should have had Chad Gable be the son and not him.
That would have made a lot more sense.
I mean, Kurt Angle is white. I mean, it would it not to be racist or none of the sort, but it made more sense.
The funny thing is...
Wait. To say not to be racist...
Because most people... Because everybody... I'm messing with you. You know why I said that, because that's the first thing motherfuckers are going to say. Oh, you're racist because he's white. No,
the funny thing is, anybody that's watched it for a while, everybody said the same thing, like... Huh? I guess there was some truth to that thing about him.
Not to mention, he actually wrestled in the Olympics. I mean, Chad Gable wrestled in the Olympics.
That's what made it weird. I'm like, that makes a lot more sense saying that that's his son. I mean, it's they've completely ruined that angle. I kind of feel bad for him because that's a big push they put on him. But man, that's going nowhere.
Well, Booker was hoeing his life when they put him on the.
That was hilarious. He doesn't deserve this, man. He's just getting this is nepotism. It is
daddy's little boy.
I kind of think that they let Booker just say what the hell he wants because I can't see Vince writing or telling Booker to say the stuff he says. Like, I know Michael Cole is his mouthpiece, you know, but Book says stuff because I think it was last week. Book said something. He messed up a move or something, and Michael Cole corrected him. And you could hear him kind of say, yeah, thanks, Cole. You could hear him. I'm like, wait, that wasn't that was real. That was really Booker shooting from the hip. I mean, remember, what was it, last year when he shot him that I'm going to beat your ass look?
Yeah.
When he said something to him, he just looked at him like, oh, after this, you're going to get five fingers to the face.
Well, let's get back to the releases. Something related to the release that, you know, was kind of a side piece is...
Side piece.
Was it earlier... Was it a couple months ago? We were in Farmington at what was it? Not Web Culture. What was the show?
Evolve.
Evolve. Yeah. One of the guys that we saw there by the name of Mr. Leo Rush, who's now in NXT.
That kid's shit. Yeah,
he just done fucked himself over. You should have just kept your mouth. You should have kept your mouth shut, kid, and taken that paycheck.
And it's like, dude, like you're not even been here that long to say something like that.
So for the people that don't know, Mr. Leo Rush went out on Twitter and made a little comment about, you know, certain.
Emma.
People getting released, Miss Emma, and said, well, I guess she really wasn't ready for Asuka, which...
That was a dick thing to say. Even coming from a schmark, that would have been a dick thing to say.
Put it this way, dude. It's like the equivalent to all our MMA fans that listen. He pulled an ally in Quinta, except he didn't straight up talk shit about Vince. He pretty much talked shit without talking shit and screwed himself.
When you have Bray Wyatt going on Twitter breaking character to say something to you, that shows you messed up. Like, dude...
Yeah.
He's like kid. You ain't even been here that long.
Bro, he's only been there like what, a month, 2 months?
2 months?
If two that, months, and they just put out the post about him being in NXT, and then he comes out and says some dumb shit like that. Like,
I think I've seen him on TV once or twice.
Because he got his ass whipped by the Velveteen Dream, and then he came out for another match and got his ass whipped.
And the thing, the kid has a lot of talent, but
I'm a fan,
but dude, you don't ruffle feathers when you just sign that bitch.
This is the one industry you really have to watch what you say. I mean, hell, guys have gotten kicked out the locker room for not shaking hands backstage.
You're eating fried chicken in the locker room. Shout out to you, Miz.
Shout out to Benoit, man.
Speaking about locker rooms, man, what about
good segue.
What about speaking about locker rooms, what about Jericho's switch to go back to Japan?
Jericho's going to Japan?
Man.
What is he doing in Japan?
He's going to fight this random dude named Kenny Omega. You know, really? Maybe you might have heard of him.
Kenny Omega. Does his hair look like ramen noodles?
Just a tad bit.
I think I've heard of this gentleman.
And he's Cyrus's butt buddy. It's all good.
This is one of those moments where we need Kevin here because he would be marking
this
out.
This is his New Japan wet dream.
I thought it was cool the way they did the whole his like whole promo video to come in, how they did like when he first came in, when Jericho first came into WWF, how they did like the countdown, how they like kind of redid that. I thought that was pretty dope.
I honestly before I saw the footage, I saw a leak about it and I'm like, this is such clickbait. Let me click it. Jericho is going to New Japan for Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom?
But what's so crazy about it?
Get my money.
What's so crazy about it, though, is all the people that are dumb enough to think, oh, well, he must be pissed off with WWE. Motherfucker, he's just making money. Like, he can go back to WWE any chance he wants.
I'd say he's probably, now the Taker's gone, he's probably Vince's guy that he can just trust, that he can go to at any time. Dude, and
you
got to
realize
the
other thing that people don't pay attention to, the guy only signs short-term contracts because he's out on tour with his band and stuff. Like, he never signed a long-term contract.
The fact that Vince let him do that says something, too, because, I mean, Vince signing month-by-month contracts
with somebody. Look at the money he just made him off that whole Kevin Owens thing.
And look at the merchandise here.
Let me throw this at you guys. Just add fuel to the fire for those that say he might have a problem with the WWE. I don't know if you heard about the Chris Jericho cruise that's coming up next year.
Dude, that would be fucking dope.
I would love to see that.
But, so on that cruise, there's going to be a Ring of Honor tournament. To whoever wins the tournament on that cruise is going to get a Ring of Honor championship match. But a lot of people, like I read an article saying that he pitched that idea to WWE and doing an NXT show on that cruise, and they turned it down.
I'm
just playing devil's advocate.
I feel you, but I mean, if you think about it, WWE only does WWE's own thing. Like, even they just showed the other day, Triple H showed up at ICW out there in Ireland or whatever the hell.
There's a lot to cover just over the weekend alone. Jesus.
I mean, dude, in a nutshell, to break it down so that we don't got to go into no long form, I mean, I don't really see anything out of it. I mean, I think the WWE probably looks at it as, well, we're trying to play it to where Jericho's gone right now. If we put NXT on his cruise, it kind of like
brings
tension to him, or maybe might spoil a potential comeback whenever he comes back, whatever.
Yeah, but that cruise isn't until next year, though.
It doesn't matter. He's not going to come back till next year anyway. His tour goes up till WrestleMania. I doubt he's even going to be at Mania this year.
I think he'll come in. I think he'll make at least a one-off at the Rumble.
That's a one-night deal. I mean, but that's not like a comeback, though.
But here's the question. Now that he's doing business with Ring of Honor and New Japan, does this now say maybe he won't come back next year?
No.
I think he will. He's going to get more money from WWE anyway. Vince would just, out of spite, give him more money than what they would offer.
Better yet, look at it this way. If that were the case, then why would they let him go do – he does all the music award shows that he's been host for and all that kind of shit. So I don't see it as a big deal.
Well, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Smiling Sam Aldi.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest on the line, Mr. Smiling Sam Alvey from the UFC.
Can you spit it out?
Sam, we have a few people here in the studio. This is me, Devin. We have my co-host, Kyle, and we have my other co-host.
You know he can't see you point right.
Well, we have two Kyles in here and me. And we
that
also
sounded weird.
You're just starting this off great.
But Sam, welcome to the show, man. Once again, thank you for calling in, man. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. I love talking to everyone, always.
All right. Well, for those of you that don't know, Mr. Sam Alvey will be here the same weekend as UFC 218, which is going to be here in the city of Detroit. Sam is going to be putting on a boxing clinic at Title Boxing in Troy, Michigan. That is December 2nd, and that will be from 1 to 3 p.m. Sam, why don't you go ahead and tell the people what they can expect at your clinic that you're putting on?
One, I like to get to know everyone. So if you're there, I'm gonna get to talk to all of you and find out, you know, your background and what you're looking to accomplish. From there, we'll go on to we'll hit some myths, and then I always like adding a little bit of sparring too. And I actually like sparring with all of my classes also. So cool. You'll get to punch me a few times if you're there.
Alrighty. We have Sam. Let me have some other people ask some questions real quick. Kyle, you got a question you want to ask, Mr. Sam Alvey?
I've been watching you since The Ultimate Fighter and all that stuff, but one of my big questions is totally un-MMA related. I watched you recently on Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge. I kind of wanted to know, because I've been thinking about running like Spartan races and stuff like that, what was your experience like on that show?
I had a good time on that show. I wasn't expecting to get on the show, and then when they said, all right, you can do it, and then they told me the date. It was 2 days after I fought Kevin Casey. So I fought Kevin Casey. I dislocated my thumb and I broke my foot in that fight. So 2 days later, I got to compete on the show. And it was a good time. I enjoyed all of it. The obstacle course was far harder than I expected, because I've always been an athletic guy. You can do anything. And then I got on that course, and it was very difficult.
And then another question I have for you with that, that kind of piggybacks right off that. You know, I trained jiu-jitsu myself. I fought a few times boxing. Do you feel that your MMA background or any of that stuff helped prepare you for the course? Do you think any of that, you know, aided you in that with the Skull Buster or anything of the sort?
With the actual course, I think my big advantage was my conditioning. Because of what I do and how I train, I'm always pretty well conditioned. So I think that definitely helped. But as far as the individual obstacles, not a whole lot. I mean, my sport keeps me in athletic shape, and that always helps. But the big help was when I was competing against the other, you know, opponents, where everything was kind of wrestling-based. It was, you know, get the wristband off, pull this thing, try and throw the other guy out of the ring. And that's where I felt the big advantage in my training came in.
So, Sam, we have two fighters here in the studio with us as well, Mr. Mo Satri and Josh Buckner. They're going to be fighting this weekend on a UFC Fight Pass on WXC 70. We have the main event and the co-main event here, man. So for two guys that are, you know, working their way up through the business and on Fight Pass, this is a big opportunity for these guys. What kind of advice do you have for Mo and Josh?
The biggest advice I've got is do something that people remember. Make a name for you. And it doesn't necessarily mean in the fight, but you get that microphone, don't say, you know, I thank my team and thank this. Come up with something people will remember. And then you can thank your team also, but they know that they're thanked anyways. Do whatever you can to grab that spotlight. A big win is always a good first step. An impressive knockout or a fantastic finish is always a good first step. But as soon as you get a chance to be on camera or get a microphone, something like that, be remembered. Say whatever you can to be remembered.
I think that's good advice. What about you guys? What do you think?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I already got something in mind for after I win this fight, so
I'll
see. It's pretty good. You'll never see it coming.
Yeah, I'm always pretty hype after every fight, so I know something crazy will come out of my mouth. I'm either calling somebody out next, or, you know, where I want to go or who I want to fight. That's you know, I'm always ready with something in my mind. So after I finish this fight, I definitely will say something.
Okay.
Yeah, good. That's you know, the biggest paydays in the world are people that run their mouths the most, and it doesn't mean be a jerk about it. Rose Namajunas just proved that. But just be memorable.
Wow. So, Sam, you just recently had a fight in Poland, I believe. And the question I have for you is, do you have anything lined up coming up soon, or are you kind of taking some time off to recruit?
You know, that Poland fight was miserable. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was last minute, too, wasn't it?
It was a last-minute fight. I cut 42 pounds in 10 days to make the fight happen. And it was too much. And I got out in the ring, and it showed my performance. It was a very weak performance by me, and a very good performance by my opponent. So because of that, I'm going to take some time off. I need to heal. After my Rashad fight, I hurt my shoulder a little bit. Before the Talas fight, I hurt my ankle. After this fight in Poland, my knee's a little sore. So I'm going to take a little bit of time off, really just focus on training, getting back into to lifting, which I love lifting, and go from there. But that's kind of my plan. Hopefully early next year I'll be able to find something. I know there's a fight card in Australia early February, so maybe I can get on that. I love traveling. But honestly, I've got nothing lined up just yet, and I'm really not looking.
Okay. Well, real quick, I talked to you earlier today, and you said you love traveling, and you were telling me that you're going to be traveling to Kosovo. You mind talking about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I'm going to Kosovo on Monday, and it's Pro Sports MVP is the name of the organization, and they send athletes and movie stars and WWE stars around the world to help boost morale for the troops. Earlier this year, I went to Iraq, and I just went base to base to base to base, and I got to meet all the guys and see what our military is doing over there. And then I got to roll with a ton of them, and it was just a blast. So it's the same plan this time. I leave on Monday. I get back just before Thanksgiving, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to go country to country, military base to military base, just meeting and greeting, and hopefully getting to roll with hundreds of our troops.
My biggest question for you is, you know, you just mentioned that you got to take some time off, but my biggest question is, like I said, I've been watching you since you were on The Ultimate Fighter and all that stuff. How's it felt for you being back up in the UFC now? Like, you've had a couple short notice fights, but like, how do you feel? You know, you said you're a little bit beat up right now, but like, how have you felt now since you've been back with the UFC now?
I love the UFC. It's such a good organization. They take such good care of their fighters. I hope to spend the rest of my career with them. And I'm going to keep trying to put on as good a performance, as entertaining a performance as I can. And they really take care of us. They do everything in their power to make sure we're comfortable, to make sure we're healthy, healed, and ready for action. And I love them. It's the biggest, you know, promotion in the world, and since I've been in it, it's obvious why.
Well, Sam, you brought up you're going to Kosovo, and you're going to be meeting up with some WWE stars, and you've been on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast and on his reality show. Are you a WWE fan?
I am. Now, there won't be any WWE stars over there this time.
Okay.
But there have been in the past.
Okay.
But no, I love the WWE. I need to get back into it. But I grew up, that's what got me into working out to begin with. I used to do push-ups during the commercial break. And I would just do as many push-ups as I could. And that's what started me out when I was 11 or 12 years old.
Well, that segues into...
Since then, I've kind of fallen out of watching it. I still enjoy it. I watch the big events, you know, the WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble. But I really do want to get back into it. I want to start watching it again.
Well, that segues into a perfect question. So it's kind of been kept on the low, but I kind of wonder what your thoughts are. There's a lot of talk now that Shayna Baszler is in the WWE. There's a lot of talk that Ronda Rousey is going to be at WrestleMania and be competing in some capacity. What are your thoughts with her and, you know, Shayna and other MMA stars all, you know, crossing over into WWE?
Power to them. I would love to be in the WWE someday. I've always loved it, and I've got such a big respect for everything they do. I know it's fake and all that, but they're athletes. The power to her. I hope there's a little bit of a bridge between my world and their world, because I'd love to cross that bridge someday.
Well, I'm going to call it right now. When you get a chance, I want you to look up a guy by the name of Sami Zayn. I would love to see Sami Zayn versus Smiling Sam Alvey. That'd be a great match.
You two could be friggin' twins.
Well, Sam, I really do appreciate you jumping on the show. We only want to keep you for a little while, man. Hopefully we can have you. Hey, I'm not going to pressure you, but, you know, if you're here, you know, fight week in Detroit, you know, if you want to come into the studio.
Hint, hint.
We'd love to have you come in, man.
I would love to. I won't be there the whole week, though. I believe I get in Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's
morning,
right.
And then I leave on Sunday.
Okay. Well,
I'll be doing, I think I've got 3 seminars lined up while I'm there. Maybe you guys do a little podcast on site.
That would be cool because Devin and I were just talking about that. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, I fought a few times boxing myself and got a purple belt with jiu-jitsu and all that good stuff. I'm going to be coming down to one of the seminars while you're here.
Oh, wonderful. That'd be great.
Yeah, real quick. I know I've been to quite a few fights myself, and I know whenever they have fighters in town, they like to have them part of, you know, the fan village, you know, doing – signings at different Metro PCS, a different location. Do you have anything lined up for Detroit other than your boxing seminar?
You know what? I really don't. I don't have. I don't. I'm just going to go there. I'm going to do my seminars, meet the people of Detroit and Michigan, and enjoy the fight. If something comes up, though, you guys will be the first people I tell.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that. So, Sam, once again, why don't you go ahead and let the people know what you're going to be doing at Title Boxing in Troy and what they can expect.
Yeah, I'll be at Title Boxing. I'm going to meet you guys. I'm going to greet you guys. We're going to go over some of my favorite techniques, and I'm going to get to spar with a lot of you. I hope none of you hurt me or try to hurt me, but we'll have a good time, I promise.
And before I forget, a buddy of mine is training with them out in New Jersey. I was told to tell you Nick Catone and those guys out there all told said to tell you hello. He trains out.
Hey, Nick Catone's he's been out to my gym more than all, to Dan Henderson's gym more than once, and he's such a good guy. Tell them I say hi right back.
Will do.
All right, Sam, thanks once again. And a quick shout-out to our mutual friend Ben for setting this up, man. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy. Big fan of the sport, and he's the one that's making this all come together.
All right. Appreciate you being
Shout
on the
out show. To Ben.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you being on the show, man. We'd love to have you again, man.
Hey, anytime. You guys just let me know. You have my number. I'm always happy to come back on.
Okay, people. Cool. I want you to know that he just said anytime, so we got this on recording, Sam. I just want you to know that.
That's a legally binding agreement now.
Legally binding.
All right, Sam, we'll let you get back to training and doing whatever it is you're doing, man. So once again, thank you for being on the show, and I really do appreciate it, man.
It's absolutely my pleasure, guys.
All right, thank you.
All right, you're very welcome.
All right, bye-bye. All right, people, that was Smiling Sam Alvey, man.
You could tell he was smiling as he was talking.
I'm telling you, if you people have never seen Smiling Sam Alvey and Sami Zayn in a room together, that's because they're the exact same person, man.
Does that mean they're also Seth Rogen?
You know what?
You could
pass for Seth Rogen. But once again, I appreciate Sam being on the show, man. I got a couple connects, too. Not like this guy right here. Kyle, I can't see that. Man.
I said, Wayne. I was trying not to interrupt you. But, all right.
Like, he showed me something that's like the smallest type ever. But,
use bold italic.
You, Grandpa.
Use bold italic font, damn it.
Fuck both of you, Grandpa.
Well, we got a little bit of time before we take our first break. Since we've already sort of introduced our two guests that are in studio, let's go ahead and make it official. Kyle, you want to go ahead and do the introductions, man?
Okay. First off, I want to welcome back past guest of the show, Mel
yes,
Chatry. He's getting ready to fight here at WXC 70 against Brandon McLaughlin. And we've also got one of my teammates, Josh Bruckner, who's going to be fighting in the main event against Devin Smith.
Yes, sir. So let's start off with Mr. Josh. Why don't you go ahead and, you know, tell the people what you're going to be doing this Saturday and what you throw your social media out there as well and your sponsors, anything you need to get out there, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this Saturday I'm going to be fighting Devin Smith in the main event for WXC. It's going to be on UFC Fight Pass. And you can find me on Instagram at Josh Bruckner, B-R-U-E-C-K-N-E-R. And, dude, I got a lot of sponsors to thank, so I'm just going to throw them out there during the show because I'm going to ramble them all off at one time.
That works.
For sure.
All right, and Mo, why don't you go ahead and let the people know what you got coming up this Saturday and, you know, any sponsors and throw your gym out there and all that good stuff, man.
Yes, sir.
And social media, too.
Yes, sir. Muhammad El Shatri on Facebook, El Shatri MMA on Instagram and Twitter. I'm very active on all three. You can always reach me, message me. I love talking to people. This weekend I'll be punching Brandon McLaughlin in the face. That simple.
Now that is how you get somebody to watch
that
the fight.
Simple.
That's how you do it.
I'm going to punch him faster and harder than he's going to punch me.
Take note, Floyd Mayweather, if you listen to this. Please listen to this.
So, I think he kind of wrote the book on that shit, but I'm just saying.
So, yeah, WXC 70, Wayne, Michigan at the Hype Athletic Center. Great venue, great promotion. It's going to be on UFC Fight Pass, aired the next day. So, you know, if you don't show up to the show, you're going to see everything spoiled on Facebook. So make sure you come to the show.
Knockouts and three counts will be in the building for that fight, too.
Yes, sir.
My sponsor, my team, Michigan Top Team, Detroit Jiu-Jitsu, best teams around. Endgame, realtor Anthony Fawaz, Javier with Exotic Flooring. You know.
If you need more time, I'll
think of them as the time comes, man. And we're Conway, so.
Yeah, we're gonna chat a little bit for like 10 minutes, then we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll jump into more long form of MMA. We'll talk about your guys' fights coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about UFC 217, which just happened this past weekend. We're going to talk about 218. We just had Sam Alvey, who's going to be here that weekend. But, Josh, from what I'm hearing, you and your opponent this weekend have had a pretty interesting time.
I mean,
you want to go into it now? You want to wait till after the break?
Go ahead.
So, I mean, you tell me, man. I've heard rumblings. I haven't heard the whole story. Why don't you go ahead and give us?
I
want
to know
bit.
What started that whole beef because it went right from 0 to 60. Right,
here we go. So, of course, I knew who Devin Smith was in the fight game. My teammate actually fought him for both their pro debuts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I seen Devin Smith at the last WXC show that we both fought on, and then I seen him at the previous fight I had as well. And we've always been cool in person. Like, we always tell each other, like, good job or good luck or do a great fight. And at my last win, he's like, oh, yeah, dude, I'd love to fight you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, let's do it for sure. Then about a week or two later, I see on Facebook he's, like, calling me out and stuff and, like, kind of being disrespectful about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I'll throw it right back. So I was like, are you sure you want to fight another Fuse fighter? How'd that go for you last time? And ever since that, you know, we've just been beefing a little bit on Twitter. On Facebook and Instagram. It's nothing too serious, you know, it's just for fun.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know a damn thing about the guy besides, like, he's an MMA fighter, how he fights, where he trains. That's about it. So
I thought the funniest one that I've seen thus far was you putting his name on the bottom of your shoes. What the hell was that all about?
Yeah, you know, well, so I was about to do a VO2 test at actually one of my sponsors, FitBody 360, and it's pretty much a terrible test. Like, you don't want to do it. You run until, like, you pretty much can't run until you're about to pass out. And so I needed – it was like a Monday, long day. Need a little extra motivation. I was like, you know, fuck this guy. I'm going to write him on the bottom of my shoes. I'm going to walk all over him. So that's exactly what I did. You know, took a picture, posted it on the gram. Yeah.
It was for the gram.
That's what happened, yeah. It's got to be out here marketing the fight a little bit, you know.
All right, Mo, let me ask you a question, man. We had you on the show before. You were getting ready to – was it a title fight?
No, it wasn't a title fight. I was getting ready to fight Ken Cross in June 16.
And, we came to MTT. That was my first time meeting you and really my first time getting introduced to you, period. So you told me, you know, make sure if you can come to the fight, but make sure you watch it. I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. You know, everybody's, you know, promoting themselves. Man, you beat that dude's ass, man. Like, it was bad.
Hey, I begged for that fight for a year and a half. You know what I mean? I begged for that fight for a year and a half. He got ranked ahead of me. He hasn't been in the fight game as long, and, you know, he got ranked ahead of me by some stupid-ass ranking that they have up by somebody. And it's not that I really give a shit about that, but, like, you know, people look at him like, oh, people that don't know MMA are like, oh, man, you know, Ken Cross.
Rankings, yeah.
Ken Cross is fifth, Mo sixth. No, the fuck I'm not. You know, not to this kid. Like, so I called him out, and, you know, he refused to fight me for a while, and then, you know, first money was an issue, then I didn't have enough fights, or he didn't have enough fights, and then this and that, he got a few more easy wins, and then the fight finally happened, and like I said, you know, I called. I said I was going to finish him late first or early second round. I'm going to choke him out because I know he's going to shoot because, you know, everybody I hit shoots.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what happened.
Isn't he training with you guys now? I thought I saw something that he came down to talk to.
Yeah, he moved out here. He's training with us. He didn't really have a good gym. You know, I mean, there's not really that many good gyms on the west side of the state. So,
right.
You know, a kid's talented. He's young. He's only 23 years old. You know, so he came down. He wants to get better, and he's learning. And he doesn't want to fight for a little while, just until, you know, he gets his skill level up. And he's been doing a lot better. He's getting a lot better. You know, we're working on a lot of his flaws. He's got a lot of bad habits that we're breaking. So he's gonna have a good future.
So everything's good between you guys now?
Yeah. Of course. You know, you got to promote fights. You know, you got to talk shit, and I'm the best shit talker out here. You know what I mean? I love talking shit. I've done it against Conor Cuppy. I've done it before in my previous fights. You know. It's what I do. So.
Hey, Kyle, you weren't there for the first time we had him. Mm-hmm. He's pretty good. Shit talking
thing. It's fun, man. It's good stuff.
So about this fight you've got now, you know, you and Brandon McLaughlin were teammates. You know, how does that change? Like, how does that make your mindset going into this fight?
Man, every fight is the same for me. You know, whether there's any shit talk, whether we're cool or we're not cool, you know, everything's always the same for me. It's business as usual. You know, a fight game is it's a business first. Like, people think, you know, oh, you got to go out there and fight the best. No, man, for, you know, there's money and all that stuff. So business first. It's a business to me. You know, him, he's just another stepping stone on where I need to be. You know what I mean? He's a good fighter. He's a great fighter. He's, you know, I know it's going to be a tough fight, but I'm out here and I'm looking for tough fights. And I'm having a hard time finding fights. And he was literally the only person out of five different people in Michigan, you know, that accepted the fight. He couldn't get a fight. I couldn't get a fight. We fought each other. It's that simple. You know, so it's good for both of us. We both need fights. We can't just sit on the sideline, you know?
Well, once again, this Saturday?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
This Saturday. And Wayne, Michigan, WXC 70. It's going to be on UFC Fight Pass. You guys excited for it to be on Fight Pass?
Oh, yeah, dude. That's huge. I mean, what, Fight Pass is in like 500,000 homes? Yeah. It's just going to be crazy exposure for us. Yeah, probably more than that, but crazy exposure. So get a huge win, have the crowd chant your name. It's going to look good.
All right. And Josh, what gym do you fight out of?
I train at Fuse MMA and Final Round in Ann Arbor.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. So we got MTT and Fuse in here?
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. There ain't no beef. We did an interview.
There ain't no Bloods and Crip type stuff out here. Let's do this.
Some of our guys actually cross train with Fuse, and the Fuse guys actually come train with us too, so we cross train with each other, you know.
Hell, I was just down there training with them at Detroit Jiu-Jitsu right before the tournament.
A couple weeks ago he was down there.
We gotta talk about that, man. I forgot about that, man.
So as soon as I signed my contract, to fight Brandon, I think it was like a few days later or the following week, Bobby Nash was in there for sparring day, and I walked up to him. I was like, "What are you doing here, traitor?" And he was just like, "What? No, man, I just want." And he gets like real nervous. And he's like, "No, Mo, I swear, I just want to get some training." I was like, "I'm just playing, man. I don't care if you're in here. I just want to fuck with you." But he's just an easy target. He's a good guy.
So have you two guys trained or sparred against each other?
Actually, no, never have.
No, yeah.
Definitely would like to.
Josh and I haven't, so probably after this fight, you know. Because Devin Smith is training with us a little bit, so, you know, obviously they can't come down and we can't go down there right now. So after this show, I'm sure, you know, us and the Fuse guys will end up training together again. You know, they have great talent at 55, you know, 55, right. 70. And we have a lot of 35ers, 25, 35, and 45. So for me, there's only really a few guys I can spar with at the gym. So it's nice to be able to, you know, cross train with the Fuse guys. You know, it's nice to have those 170s, 155ers at the gym with us.
I think our two gyms between Fuse and MTT, I mean, to be honest, man, I think they've really emerged as your top two. You either, when you start hearing people talking about the main gyms, I mean, you either hear about Fuse or you hear about MTT. I mean, those are the two big names. I mean, Murcielago's got a name, which is where, you know, Devin's coming from. But
right.
I think by and large, I think you're starting to see more and more that those are the two front runners as far as Michigan goes, for the most part, in my opinion.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll talk more about the crossover between the gyms and the fights coming up. And we'll talk more about UFC this past weekend and a lot more MMA stuff. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And once again in the studio, we have Mo. I keep messing up your last name, man. Why don't you tell people what your name is so I don't screw it up anymore?
El Chatri.
Son of a bitch.
I mess up the name of our show. I mess up Mo's name. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, there's too a reason alcohol. Why. There's a, and he didn't alcohol. Have any alcohol involved. That's why every time we kick to the name of the show, why do you think he kicks to me?
And we also have Josh. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Smooth
segue. Shots fired, bitch.
Smooth segue.
So real quick, Josh, Mo, why don't you guys once again tell people why you're here, what you got coming up this weekend. We'll start with Josh.
So I'm here because I'm fighting for WXC 70 this weekend on Saturday. It's at the Hype Athletic Center in Wayne, Michigan. It's going to be on UFC Fight Pass 2 the following day, so come check it out, get tickets, and yeah.
And once again, Once again, why don't you throw your social media out there to the people and any sponsors or anything?
You can find me on Instagram at Josh Bruckner and on Facebook, same thing. I just got to thank my sponsors, Dapper Gents Barbershop, Fit Body 360, Fit Foods RX, Tough Love Detroit, LPC Inc., Title Boxing Club Macomb, and Title Boxing Club Shelby. And then my team, Fuse MMA.
Okay. Real quick. You mentioned Title Boxing Club. We had Sam Alvey on the show. He's going to be at Title Boxing Club in Troy.
Yep.
Do you have any affiliation with them as well, or is it just mainly Macomb?
So Title Boxing is a franchise.
Okay.
So my owner owns the Shelby and Macomb location. So, I mean, technically there's affiliation there, but okay. I've never even been to that club. So
okay. You think he'll be there December 2nd from 1 to 3 to go see Mr. Smiling Sam Alvey?
Will I be there? We'll see. I mean, I'm not planning on it. I might have to stop by. I might have to drop by.
All right. And Mr. Mo, why don't you go ahead and let the people know what you got coming up this weekend and go ahead and throw your social media and your sponsors or anything else you need to get out there.
Yes, sir. So I'm also fighting on WXC 70. I'll be the co-main event.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be my third co-main event this year. Plan on going 3-0 for this year with co-main event. So I put up a post a couple weeks ago, man. I'm demanding main events after this because I'm beating up all these guys. You know, it's about time I headline something. You know, I'm the guy out here trying to fight everybody. You can find me on Facebook, Muhammad El Chatri, or El Chatri MMA on Instagram and on Twitter. Another one of my sponsors is Cora Thompson with Thrive. You know, that shit helps me out a lot. You know, it keeps me going through my training camp. I was just talking about, you know, cutting weight and stuff and how much it sucks. You know, Thrive helps me, gets me that energy to get up and go at 5 o'clock in the morning when I need to train, you know, before I go to work. So shout out to Cora.
Okay. And real quick, man, can you spell out your Twitter and Instagram real quick, just in case people don't?
Sure. It's ALSHATRIMMA.
Okay, can you spell that one more time so I can write it? Never mind. So so before we jump back into MMA, Kyle, what have you been up to lately, man?
I love how you just try to put me on spot. But I just competed.
Have you dressed in all white with a belt of a different color on?
No, actually, I was in
all black.
I was in the ninja suit. All right, yeah, I just competed in the Michigan Open. It's the first time I've competed in 4 years, and the first one is a purple belt. Didn't quite go my way this time, but I was able to execute a lot of things that we were working in training. So I definitely be competing again soon. I also may be having the opportunity to be on the United States para jiu-jitsu team with a future guest of the show, Ronald Mann, who I got hooked up with through a training partner. There's a good possibility, if money and everything looks right, I may be competing in London, England, March 10th and March 11th of next year, hopefully.
Man, that's major.
So I'll be nice. I'll be competing both in the para division and the regular division. So, you know, man, it's just good to be competing again. Because when I first started training, I mean, I fought four times boxing before I ever went to Don or trained with any of these guys. But, you know, it's been a long time since I've competed. So it just feels good to have something to train for. I mean, it just makes you have that extra push to go to the gym. So, you know what, man, it's cool to be back on the mat. As Don can attest to, who's a past guest of our show, yes, shout out to Josh and I's coach, Big Don Richard. You know, I was able to execute a lot of things that we worked on. You know, and I noticed a big difference that I've been I was lifting a lot prior to that tournament, which it really helped me a lot. So, you know, I'm excited to see where this goes, man. And hopefully, I mean, my big thing, you know, is – listeners of our show know, you know, I work with a lot of kids with disabilities, man. I just hope that by me doing these tournaments and things like that, you know, it can show some of these other kids, man, you know, you're capable of doing whatever you want to do. So, you know, I'm excited for what the future's got to hold.
Definitely, definitely, man. It's a major inspiration, man. I mean, I was there. I got to see you perform out there, man. Like I said, it didn't necessarily go the way you wanted it to, man, but hey. You.
But I mean, you know, like I say, it goes that way. I mean, you step into a cage, step onto a mat, step onto all that stuff, man. You know that there's always, you know, there's always, you're going in there expecting to win. But I mean, dude, I mean, there's always that possibility. And, you know, the biggest thing that I take away from competing is making sure that I put it all out there. So right. At the end of the day, I mean, both of my opponents came up to you and I and talked about how they didn't want anything to do with standing with me because I was strong. So I'll take that as a little moral victory for me. I just know what I got to work on, work a little bit on transitions and, you know, just being quicker to the punch. So it's all good.
Right. I don't want to make it all sappy and stuff.
Ain't nothing
like,
sappy about
but,
it.
But no, man, like seriously.
Get a room, Jesus.
But, no, seriously, nice man. Like, you inspired me, man.
I'll cut you, bro. Fuck jiu-jitsu, I'll cut you.
I have a knife.
Well, right thanks now for ruining the moment, guys. All right. But Josh and Mo, you trained with Kyle before he went to this tournament. What did you guys think?
I didn't get to train as much with Mo. I was there when Mo was there, but I've trained with Josh for a while.
Okay, but you've seen him in the gym. What do you guys think about this fella that we have on our show?
He's got heart, man. Doesn't give up. Got heart. He's good. Purple belt. Are you one stripe or two stripe?
I got one stripe.
One stripe? You've been training with Don for years.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
I've been with Don since I was 16. I mean, I've watched Josh since he was a little young pretty boy kid with his little hockey hair kicking people's heads in the front row and shit.
Beaver cut. Way back.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And Mo, I met him through a mutual friend, you know, Mitch Bardis. You know, I was training with him getting ready. That's why I was over there at their gym. I was training with him and newly crowned black belt David Garmo to get ready for this. So, you know, I mean, hopefully I'll be training with both of them more in the future, especially if Mo, like he was saying before the break, you know, wants to come down to Fuse and all that stuff. I definitely plan on making out to Fuse more often.
So Mo, what do you think about this gentleman that we have on our show, man?
Oh, man, I think it's great. You know, I saw him training and he was doing, you know, personals with Mitch and Garmo. Garmo is probably arguably one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the state of Michigan, you know, and he was working his ass off, you know, and I was getting ready for my fight and I was downstairs training too and like just watching him train and drill and listen and like actually like take advice from one of the best guys, you know, one of the guys that I train with. I'm just like, man, shit, I gotta step my game up now. Kyle's out here getting it, man. I gotta step my game up too. So
you guys are gonna take care of business this weekend. It's gonna be fun.
Yes, sir. But what, man? Shout out to you, man, for this big opportunity going to London, man.
Yeah, man. Lord willing, man, this could be cool. I mean, we'll see where this goes. I mean, I know they told me leading up to it, they all just they paid for them to go fight at Abu Dhabi, and the guy that I got hooked up with, he trains out of Mario Yamasaki's camp out there in Washington.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, they got a big school out there. Hopefully that can open up some other doors for me to do some stuff. I mean, all cool opportunities, man. So we'll see.
All right. So and when is that?
The England one is March 10th and March 11th. I haven't registered for it yet because I'm still trying to figure out money-wise. Getting there, all that kind of stuff. But they are competing at most of the Grand Slams. They'll be competing out in Cali again next year too. So if I don't make England is what I would like to do because I've never been to England before. That'd be cool. But if I don't do England, you know, I could always hit Cali. I just, you know, I want to go compete in some different places.
All righty. So, Kyle, since you're already talking, man, you're all warmed up. What? Oh. You got a question for
me? He's always warmed up.
I'm sorry.
Motherfucker.
You got a question for our guest.
There's a lot of truth in that one.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I just pissed off the jiu-jitsu guy. I'm sorry.
It's funny. You know, we were talking about a little bit about your guys' opponents before the fight and stuff like that. Josh, you know, I've, like I said, been watching you train, you know, since you were coming up in the amateurs, all that kind of stuff. Have you, you know, you were mentioning some of your sponsors. I know you've been changing up your diet a little bit, all that kind of stuff. You know, like, is there any big changes you've made? Like, you know, just in your fight game in general, and like going into this fight with Devin, having seen him fight before, like,
he's not fighting me, by the way.
What?
So he's not fighting me, by the way. That's a different Devin.
How do you feel about the matchup?
I mean, first of all, for this fight camp, dude, I mean, I've been doing a ton of stuff differently. For the last two fights, I've also done this, like, just slowly adding it in. But for the last two fights, I only had about like a 3.5 week fight camp. This time, I had 2 strong months to train. So we went back. We did some tests at FitBody 360. Got you know, my diet set up, my strength and conditioning program set up, and now on top of that, I'm working with FitFoodsRx. So they're doing my meal prepping for me. So I mean, I'm eating the cleanest food possible, the right food. So, I mean, that's a huge difference. And then, like I said, the strength and conditioning, I had 2 months with my coach. Like, he writes a program for me,
Chris May.
Yeah,
I've been seeing
those
workouts, man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he's a genius when it comes to working out. The stuff we're doing is just insane. And it's taking my cardio and my game to the next level for sure. So I feel, even in the gym, I've noticed it. Like, that's one thing for a fight. If you're a fighter, the last thing you should worry about is your strength and conditioning, your cardio in the fight. Especially as a pro, that should be number one.
Well, this is another question I got, just because I'm somebody who, not only with jiu-jitsu, I mean, I lift a lot myself. You know, you were talking about your dieting. Like, how are you, especially having to go into a weight cut and things like that, like, how are you doing, like, how many times a day are you eating? Because, like, when I was doing mine, I was eating, like, you know, 5 times a day, 5 to 6 times a day, 2 of which being like shakes and stuff. Like, how's that play out for you, being that you're doing weight cuts and now that kind of stuff?
I mean, so I base my diet off macros. So okay, yeah. It's carbs, fat, and protein. So okay. I mean, I just got to get a certain amount in per day. It's not really how many times okay. I'm eating per day, as long as I'm reaching that goal. And obviously I'm doing my weight cut right now. And so I did put on some more weight, some more muscle for this fight. It just happened, just like I was eating a lot more. I was eating a lot more, training a lot
harder. One day I woke up and I suddenly had muscles. I don't know what happened.
I'm still waiting for that to happen for me.
It happened when I was 15, and then it went away. Now, if I take this meter off, you know, you can see the remainders of what used to be a great stomach when I was younger. You can almost still see the definition. Yeah, those days are past.
So you got one big ab now?
Yeah, it's one large ab that kind of goes over the stomach a little bit.
He's got the kegerator.
That happens.
Well, Mo, let me ask you a quick question, man. Last time you were on the show, we talked about your weight cut then. I brought up the fact that during that time was Ramadan, and you were cutting weight, but has your weight cut been different this time? And your last fight when we had you on the show?
So last time I fought, they ended up changing it like 2 weeks out. They asked me if I could do 160 catch weight instead. So I didn't really have to make 55.
Okay.
So, you know, I think this time is a lot easier. Last time I was having a little bit of a harder time. I think I just I waited too long before I started cutting out, you know, cutting down on my eating. So this time I had a full 8 week training camp, and like I was telling Josh earlier, man, I'm only 8 pounds out. It never happens. So by the time Friday comes around, I got to cut the rest of the weight. I'll probably have like 5 pounds. You know, that's
wow.
I think shit's bigger than that. So
I like you. I like you. I like you.
I really don't know where to go.
So it's a lot.
Shit's going on.
I want to see let's see how you segue from that.
So this weight cut has been a lot easier for me. And I'm actually going down to 55 this time instead of 160, so.
Okay. I'm at a loss for
words. You stumped the motor mount.
So speaking of shits, what do you think about your opponents coming up this time?
Anarchy.
I'm lost. Kyle, you got anything?
Okay, so since we've talked about their fights and things like that, what'd you guys think of the UFC card that just happened?
218. Oh, no, 217. I'm sorry, 217 this past weekend.
Get your shit right. Stop thinking about his shits.
I'm going to sit over here in the corner.
They're not small.
Take T-Rex shits.
I think the card was great, man. From the prelims, you know, from OSP, fucking crazy head kick.
Dude, that was nasty.
You know, on 10-day notice, he took that fight all the way to GSP, making that huge comeback and, you know, getting the finish. I had Bisping finishing him and, you know, shut me up for sure. But it was a great card. It was one of the best cards I've seen probably since that Lawler and McDonald card. They beat the shit out of each other. That was a pretty good card, too.
I was reading online. They said that's the first time in UFC history where they had three title fights in which all titles changed.
Right.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they've probably only had, like, three cards with, like, three title fights.
Yeah, but I'm like, yeah.
That too, but yeah.
As I think back, I'm like, yeah, they don't have a lot of defenses.
But yeah, it was crazy. Three title changes.
So if anybody did a parlay with all the underdogs in the title fights, man, wow.
It was
big money.
GSP wasn't the underdog, though. GSP
no, he wasn't the underdog.
No,
he was
the favorite.
Yeah, it was weird. But, I mean, it's GSP. Rose was a 6-1 underdog, so if you bet on Rose, you made some
Rose was a fucking G,
cash.
Dude.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. And we've kind of talked about, you know, shit talking, you know, before your fight or whatever.
Always comes back to shit with you.
I was on track. You had to knock it right back off.
What were you saying about shit?
So
this shit's gone off the rails.
Ah, shit. So Rose and Joanna, you know, mainly Joanna's been, you know, getting in her face and make, you know,
talking about I'm going to take your soul and shit.
And like the whole time, Rose just had this stoic, just death stare. And I don't know about you guys. After a while, I started to think, maybe Rose is a lot more crazy than we realize. And Joanna might not want to keep fucking with her. And like the way the fight turned out, she might not want to keep fucking with her. So what did you guys think about the build-up for that fight? Let's go to you, Josh.
I mean, there's a quote I like. It's, everyone has an opinion, but the people who lack skill usually have the loudest opinion. So, I mean, that's kind of how I feel how that fight played
out. That's a soundbite.
Yeah. I mean, straight up. Just like my opponent, he's talking mad shit, posting something on Facebook every day. It's because he's scared. I mean, I'm on his mind 24-7.
Yep.
Think about it. I mean, he's posting about me every day, almost.
So I'm going to
creep.
It's a little weird, but.
Speaking of that, didn't he even take a low blow at the thing with your aunt and all that stuff, too?
Yeah, but that was just stupidity on his part. He didn't know that was a breast cancer symbol, which is kind of embarrassing. That's why he went back and changed his shirt, but.
Wait, what?
So have you seen his T-shirts?
I have not.
So my nickname is G.I. Josh, and his T-shirt, it's pretty funny. It's G.I. Bitch. It says G.I. Bitch, and then. So I did a fundraiser for my aunt who has cancer. So I made T-shirts. They were pink, and it said G.I. Josh, and I had the cancer ribbon. Mm-hmm. So he literally just stole that but put G.I. Bitch with the cancer symbol.
With the,
yeah,
the
so
pink
I mean,
ribbon?
Yeah, so dude. I'm like, dude, you're kind of, first of all, why would anyone sponsor you? Like, their name is going to be on the back of that shirt. Like, you're making them look like an ass, too. You're making yourself look like an ass.
Right.
And
what month was this?
What
month was this? This wasn't your breast cancer month, was it?
No. So I did this fundraiser a while. It was almost a year ago now. But,
okay.
Yeah, so that happened with that. And then he was like, oh, well, I didn't know it was a breast cancer symbol. Like, you're an idiot.
Wow.
Straight up. How do you not know that?
Wow.
Or you're just taking a shot at people with cancer. So either way, like, you're stupid.
if you're going to slander people, do your research, people.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Research your shit,
though. But, hey, get your G.I. Bitch shirts at the fight. I think they're like $15. I order one because, nice, you know, when I get my hand raised.
I'm you order wear one of his shirts?
Of course. When I get my hand raised, I'm going to wear that boy.
There you go. That's that.
Yeah,
that's
brand synergy. Exactly.
So with the whole shit talking between Juana and Rose and all those guys, you know, I don't think everybody's so much like on the disrespectful. So other than Cody and TJ, you know, they just don't like each other at all. So yeah. I believed every word that came out of Cody's mouth and TJ's mouth. But like with the other fights, you know, I don't think they really met so much. I think they're just taking a page out of Conor McGregor's book. You know what I mean? Those are the guys that are getting paid the most money. Those are the most hyped fights are guys that are talking shit.
Right.
You know, other than Conor Cuppy, that's one guy I never liked and I never will. And if he wants to get smashed, he can come back and get another second ass whooping. He's somebody I fought, I think it was my second pro fight, and he had all the hype behind him, and I thought he was garbage. And, you know, and I kept calling him out, same thing as a Ken Cross fight, calling him out. And, you know, then his brother got on one of the posts and started talking shit to me. His brother fights at a higher weight class. And I was like, you know, I was like, you're out here talking shit, but your brother's hiding like a bitch. Like, make him sign the contract. And he got cornered. He had to sign the contract. He had to back up what his brother was saying. And I whooped his ass, too. And next thing you know, nobody knows where Conor Cuppy is. He's probably in a hole right now teaching somebody karate or something. I don't know. You know, he's not shit anymore. But, you know, that's shit talk sells tickets. It brings in the fans, you know. And Conor McGregor proved that. And guys are, I think guys and girls in the UFC are taking that route a little bit. You know, I don't think Juana, you know, hates Rose or anything, but, you know, she hyped up the fight.
Yes, people
made people wanted to come watch that fight. You know, same thing with GSP and Michael Bisping is a funny motherfucker. He's one of my favorite fighters. And he is a funny motherfucker, man. But he's respectful after every fight. He's humble, he's respectful, but he's going to talk shit to sell tickets. And he's been doing it for a long time, just this time is a little more.
You have to play that role for the public. I mean, you, even though you guys are athletes, you're also performers.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to put on that mask.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, you guys can be the best fighters in the world, but if you're not selling tickets, nobody's going to know it. You know, the point of this is to be the best and to let people know that you're best, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So, I mean,
Sam said it earlier. You know, Sam said it earlier. He's like, you got to get remembered. You know, they have to remember you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... You know, after every fight, I think the shit that comes out of my mouth, half of it is stupid. It doesn't even make sense. But, hey, you know what? You're going to remember that stupid-ass comment I made on the post-fight interview.
All right. And one thing that I adopted as a mantra for fighters, and it kind of comes from Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen, he's definitely a very skilled fighter, but he talked himself into a lot of title fights and different opportunities. And one thing he said is that, when they put a microphone in your hand, that's your opportunity. And he hates it when fighters, you know, say, when they ask you, hey, what do you want to fight next? And they'll just say, well, you know, whoever Dana White gives me, you know, whoever the UFC says. No, that is your opportunity to call out anybody that's ranked above you to make a name for yourself. So when Sam said that, I started thinking about Chael Sonnen. I'm like, this is great advice for any fighter. And you guys, you're going to be fighting on Fight Pass this weekend. Take that opportunity.
Oh, you better believe I got some shit to say. You better believe I got some shit to say.
Speaking
after that
of
fight.
That, you know, like, not to overlook anybody's opponents, I mean, what are your guys' plans for the future, you know, after this fight? You know, are you still trying to stay local? Are you, you know, are you just taking what's next? Like, where do you guys see yourself after this fight?
Always depends. Just like you say, you never want to, like, look past anyone. And I like to stay active. I mean, this is my third fight, and... what, 4 months,
yeah,
I think. So it's good to stay active. If you take a fight and you don't get injured or anything, why not take another one? You know, I'm always in the gym working either way, but you never know with fighting. It's a fight game, so could come out with injury. Who knows?
Mo, any plans for you?
Yeah, so I've been offered a couple fights after this on December and in January, and I turned everything down. I told them to message me Sunday, you know, the 12th or whatever the date is. Don't, you know, I don't like talk to anybody before my fight about future fights. But, we do have, I'm going to be working with a manager, because I've always managed myself, so I'm going to be working with a manager after this, and he's got some big plans for me. So hopefully I'll be going out of state. I think after this fight, you know, especially if, you know, if I end it as violently as I want to end it, it's, you know, there isn't going to be too much left in Michigan for me. You know, I train with the best guys, you know, and I cross train with the best 55ers in the state of Michigan. Right. So after this fight, I think it's time for me to go out of state, start beating up some hometown kids. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'll fight anybody, anytime, anywhere. You know, you make 55, I'll smash your face, and it's that simple. So
that's the soundbite. Getting a lot of material for future shows now.
Yes. And you were saying you're kind of having a hard time finding fights here now, right?
In Michigan, yeah. Yeah, I fought anybody that was willing to fight me and, you know, guys that I don't train with. So I don't think there isn't much left for me in Michigan. But, you know, I'm always looking. If there is somebody, if a promotion is willing to bring somebody from out of state, man, sign me up. I'll fight.
Well, that's a good segue into, we talked about it a little bit earlier, the Cody Garbrandt fight. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts about that? I thought that fight was badass.
Yeah, I thought I had Cody. I don't think Dillashaw is, I don't know, maybe I just, maybe I'm just biased. No, I just don't like Dillashaw. I don't know.
I thought Dillashaw was done after the first round because dude was on Queer Street, bro.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him, but man, fuck. Yeah, that's crazy. It was a crazy finish. That whole night was crazy. I picked all three fights wrong. Same. So
exactly, I picked them all wrong too.
So whatever.
I'll take it, dude. That's my one thing. And like you and I have talked about it on the last time you were here. Like, you know, I mean, it's nice to see when people go out there and get after it. Like, nothing bugs me more than when people like, they know that they're taking a risk of getting fucked up if they actually try to go fight, and then they just try to, you know, lay in prayer, however it has to go. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to win. But, I mean, like, when you see people go out there and get after it, that's what people want to see. That's where the sport grows. That's where the hype grows. You know, I mean, and that card was a perfect example of people just getting the fuck after it. So, I don't know. To me, man, those were definitely good fights to watch.
Yeah, it was a great card, man.
Kyle, you got anything for our guests?
Yes. All right. I have got a little streak going with all of our combat sports guests. Oh, I ask you guys this question. Shut up. I ask everyone this question.
I'm
so
nervous.
If somebody's tuning in, that sounds so old saying that. If somebody's listening to our podcast right now and they've never heard of either one of you, what would be the quintessential fight you would say, go look me up, this is what I'm about, this is what lets you know what type of athlete, what type of fighter I am?
Like a previous fight on
YouTube? Yeah, like anything. Like if somebody just went like, wow, okay, I like to listen to him, I should get into some of his previous fights. What would be the fight you say, you need to go look at this? This is my best work. This is who I am.
Dude, I would definitely have to say my amateur title fight versus Dean Caldwell is actually for WXC as well.
That was a great fucking fight.
Yeah, so before that fight, I've never had been out of the first round. So I fought him, and he was good. He actually came from 85 down to 70, and I was a champion at the time, and he was, I think he was an 85-pound champ, and he wanted to fight me for the 70-pound belt. And so we went in that fight. I knew nothing about him. 5 hard-fought rounds. I got rocked in the third, first time ever getting rocked. He got on top. I had a hold guard for the last, like, 40 seconds. I remember I sat back in the stool after that round. I was like, where am I? Like, I woke back up. I was like, oh, wow. My coach came in and, like, started smacking me on the face. Like, wake up. I'm like, oh, it's a fight.
How long ago was this?
2.5 years ago?
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, in that fight, that was, like, really the first time I faced adversity in a fight. Obviously, it happens in the gym all the time, but it's different in a fight. And that, I feel like that was the first, like, real fight I had. And honestly, I loved every second of it. That's my favorite fight for sure.
All right.
Yeah. So it'd be very hard for me. So it's either my first pro fight, my pro debut, because I don't know if this was like 2 years.
Said the head kick knockout.
The head kick knockout,
that's
and
dope.
Like
that was dope.
You know, it actually it made national television with Best Run Show, whatever it's just called, and it was on there. It was like top 3 for the week. For like knockouts and stuff and finishes. Either that or my last fight that I just had. I say my last fight because I got put in a very bad position, you know, as soon as the fight started. I got taken down and got on my back, and He had a really deep choke in, and, you know, I was fine the whole time. When you watch it, when I watched it on video, like, I was actually kind of nervous. I already know what happened. The fight was over, but I was watching a replay, and I was kind of nervous, and I was like, fuck, fight the hands. And I'm, like, talking to myself, like, fight the hands, go that way. You know, but I already know what happened, but it was just, I didn't realize how bad it looked. But I was fine. Like, I was doing all the right things to avoid the choke. I was on the right side. I was fighting one of the hands. You know, he wasn't going to choke me with one. So I was doing all the right things, and I was just put in a very bad position, and then I came out of it, and then I finished him with that same choke he had on me. So
was it a cross fight?
That was a cross fight.
Okay.
So yeah. I would say one of those two fights was definitely, you know, worth watching, or both. The first one was in the first round. It was a quick one.
Wow. Wait, and what show was this knockout on?
It was for TXC. If you look up...
It was the MMA Hour, wasn't it? That's what...
It was on Bas
Rutten. It was on Bas Rutten's show. The show that he's got with...
Mauro Ranallo?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that show's no longer around, but, you know, we'll find it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can find it. Just put Mo Chatry versus Luke. It'll pop right up on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, we'll make sure we tweet that out and put that on all the social media so you can watch...
So, we were talking about what you guys want to do next. I know for Josh, I want to see, after as long as this fight goes well, I want to see you run it back with Willis Black, bro.
That'd be a good fight. Definitely.
That's what I want to see.
Definitely a possibility. Like I said, I don't like to look past anyone.
No, for sure. Not at all.
I think after I win this fight, it's only up from there. I mean, Devin Smith's ranked, what, third in the state, yeah. I think. So I'm going to take that spot, and then... I got some big plans after.
Have you thought about, either one of you thought about going up any weight classes, or you just want to stick in your current weight class and just completely take care of all the competition you have in that weight class? Because I know you said you're pretty much gone against everybody who's 155 in Michigan, right?
Yeah, anybody that I don't train with or cross-train with.
Have you thought about going up or down a weight class to try that out?
I fought at 45 before as a professional, and I fought all the way as heavy as 185. Okay. Before, so you know, I fought everywhere in between from 45 to 85, but now I think 55 is just comfortable. You know, I'm 5-2, I'm 5-0 at 55, and I'm 0-2 in other weight classes. You know, kind of 45 just it just sucked. You know, it hurt. I didn't fight it. You know, I didn't fight well. I lost to myself that fight. If you watch that fight and you watch my other fights. You know, it wasn't me in there. It was just terrible. The weight cut was miserable. You know, it wasn't fun. I wasn't focused on my training. I was focused on getting skinny. It was not a good cut for me, and it showed in my fight. And the fight at 85, I took on 24-hour notice in a different state. It was just last minute stupidity. So,
how long did it take you to get the? How long did you take you to cut the weight to get to the? We said 145.
I cut from 180, what was it, like 186 to 145 in about 4 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks or something like that. Shit. And it was miserable, man. I was so focused on just losing weight that I wasn't really, you know, perfecting my skill as a martial artist. So I looked like fucking shit in that fight, you know. That's a fight you don't want to watch. It's boring. He didn't do anything. He was a wrestler, and he just pressed me. He literally pressed me on the cage for 15 straight minutes. He took me down probably one time.
Can I ask you a question?
It was terrible. Oh, my God.
Well, we have Mo's fiancé in here. Mo, why don't you give your lovely fiancé a quick introduction?
All right. My fiancé, Allison Velzen, is here. She's listening to me. She's probably my worst critic after me, and, but she makes sure I make weight, and she makes sure everything's cooked, and makes sure I get to training every day, twice a day, or I get yelled at. So,
okay. So the question I had, don't look him up, just look at me for a second, okay? Is it hard watching him cut weight and fight? Like, are you, like, the whole time, are you just sitting there like, why are you doing this? Like, don't get hurt. What if you don't get, like, how is it being the fiancé of an MMA fighter?
Watching the weight cut isn't bad. Watching him in the cage is worse. I feel worse for him for the weight cut because, like, I'm eating bacon and stuff. So I think it's more miserable for him.
Does that help when you guys have arguments because you can at least eat in front of him and really make him feel bad?
She is the worst. Hold on a second. Last fight, when I fought Ken Cross, I was cutting weight. It was Thursday night, and I just came back from the sauna. I finished my first session. You know, of weight cut, and I'm dehydrated. I was like, hey, you got to, you know, I'm leaving to Grand Rapids in the morning. You got to take me to Walmart. I got to get a couple things for rehydration I forgot to get today. So she drives me to Walmart. We get out of Walmart, she pulls into Wendy's through the drive-thru. And she was, and then she gets mad at me because I put it on Snapchat for all my friends to see. I was like, look at this. She's getting Wendy's. And she's over here. She's eating Wendy's in the car on the drive home. This smells delicious.
Cold-blooded, dude.
And I'm just, I was miserable.
I'm going to take a wild guess. Miserable. You got a Baconator, didn't you?
I got a single with bacon.
Oh, definitely bacon. Terrible.
She doesn't care. She's like, you chose this path. That's our favorite
that's
line.
That's what I always say.
You chose this path.
That's the worst thing. That's the last thing to say. It's the last thing to say.
You know what God's currency is?
Bacon.
Terrible.
But so, fight night. What? How are you fight night?
Oh, I just stay out of his business. Yeah, as soon as he starts cutting, like, water in the sauna, I'm, like, out of the picture. I just stay away. I don't see him until, like, post-fight.
Like, so sitting ringside, like, how are you?
Drunk?
Yeah. I'm slightly intoxicated, try to help with my
slightly
nerves.
Slightly intoxicated.
Yeah, you need it.
He usually fights towards the end of the show, and people are always buying me drinks, so. Most of the time, I try to keep my mouth shut. There was one fight where I was pretty intoxicated, and I... It's very loud, and you can hear me on the
If you YouTube my last WXC fight back in February, and I fought on, it was 17-day notice, and I cut 26 pounds, like, to make the weight class. It was just, it was miserable, but, you know, it was a fight. I knew I was going to smash this kid, and, you know, his opponent fell out, and they needed somebody, so I was like, I'll jump in and
that
fight.
That was Jake May, wasn't it?
That was Jake May, and, you know, and he only had one weapon. He's got a good right hand. You know, but one weapon in martial arts at the level we fight at is shit. You know what I mean?
One-legged man and ass-kicking kind.
Yeah, so I was just, like, picking my shots. I was trying to fight smart. You know, I didn't have the best cardio because I was just, you know, I just cut 26 pounds in 17 days. So I knew my cardio wasn't going to be there, so I had to, like, pace myself. I fought at a different pace than I usually fight. And you watch that video, and she is in the background screaming, yelling, yeah, me, at me. You fucking look like shit out there, and I'm fighting, and I can hear all this. And like between rounds, I looked at Darren, one of my coaches, and I was like, Darren, I was like, you need to tell her to shut up. Like, he's like, just focus on the fight. I was like, I can hear her talking to me.
I'm riding with her home.
You can, and then if you watched that fight on it's up on YouTube. If you watch that fight on YouTube, you can hear her in the background yelling over the commentators.
Yeah, but I mean, you were throwing combinations after I was yelling at you. You were throwing, like, one shot, throw something different, and then you threw a combination.
That is still.
No, yeah.
I got quarters for that.
I learned my lesson after I watched that video. I'm like, yeah. Right, I got to keep.
We had a long talk after that. Like, well, listen, keep your drunk ass mouth shut.
Well, that keep venue, drinking. The Crystal Garden that they used to do. It's, like, pretty small, and I was really close to the cage, so you could hear everything. I'm used to, like, being in, like, stands, and, like, everyone's screaming, so you can't hear me. So.
Wait, so you're going to be at the fight this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so buying you shots, dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm joking.
You're just setting him up for a downfall.
I'm joking.
I don't want him to be able to blame us like them motherfuckers.
No, I'm
going to
be quiet.
And you're going to fight at 1 in the morning, so.
Yeah, she'll be sleeping by then. You can buy, she'll be passed out drunk by then. I'm not worried. Fucking 20 fights on a card. Jesus.
But Josh, do you have a significant other, girlfriend?
No. Okay. No. Okay. No distractions.
He said he's a distraction, no.
But no.
He went right away.
Been
no.
There, been there, done that. No.
Yeah, he's young though, man. I'm an old man. You know, we're getting married in May. I'm 29 years old.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks a lot.
We're getting married in May, man. Like.
If you're old,
I'm not 19,
22,
still.
22. But
oh my bad, same shit.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
you know what? Same shit. 22.
You have the right attitude. If I was 22, well, I still ain't got no kids, but still, don't.
Don't.
Yeah, I'm not an athlete. Yeah, I wasn't an athlete.
When I was 22, I was single too. 22 is when I first got into MMA, actually, 7 years ago, and like I was single too. I'm 29 now. I'm like, shit, I got to get married before nobody wants me anymore.
I mean, not only am I the token white guy, I always end up being the young guy, too. So it's like.
Oh, my God. Hey, it's not a bad thing, man.
I'm not complaining, bro. I mean, I'm 25, and they both got me by a little bit.
Yeah, I'm the old fart of the group, but that's okay.
How old are you? 47?
Damn.
You know what, Kyle?
I'll put myself in that. I say that when I have the most gray hair of anybody up here.
I was about to say.
I have the most gray hair of anybody up here, so I say that. Granted, if I shave, you look 47, but so.
I was about to say, I'm older than you, and I'm also bigger than you, Kyle. So you
might. Everybody's bigger than me, damn it, but that's why I have a low center of gravity. Don't fuck with me. I'm like a running back.
I just kick you in the dick. That works with everybody.
That's always. You know what? Not to say that I have one move, but but that's my one move in a fight. I'm usually slow, lower to the ground. A dick punch usually equals out the fight. Every fight I've been in starts with a dick punch, usually ends well for me. Just saying.
This thing went up the rails real quick.
You've got no room to talk shit, Wonder.
You want to take this outside, man?
Come on.
I'm going to leave it alone. So I'm going to let Mo take care of you for me, man. That's how you train him.
Yeah, right.
Mo, I'll pay you.
He said I'll pay you.
IOUs don't count, damn it.
All right, Mo, we're just going to stage it like a wrestling match. And
I'll split with you.
Hey, you still got some more of that gum?
I'll split with you.
Speaking of, well, that's actually something I did want to ask you guys. Speaking of wrestling.
Woo!
Okay, here we go.
Well, in a previous episode, we had one of your teammates, you know, a guy we had on the show before, Mr. Manib. He was on the show.
Oh, my God.
And we also had a couple of wrestlers in here, too. And
he's got no chill.
Him and Tyler together was a lethal fucking combination.
They have no chill.
We've done, all together, we've done, what, over 10 shows together, right?
Yeah.
I've never gotten texts from everybody. Like, dude, when you listen to the show, dot, dot, dot. I'm like, okay. And so, dude, and then, like you never text me. You text me like, dude, just to let you know, let people know before they listen to this episode. I'm like, okay, that was a weird disclaimer.
Dude, that show was,
so then you text
that
me.
Show was trouble as soon as they started talking.
Then I'm like, driving, shit. And Kevin calls me like, man, did you listen to the show? I'm like, man, I've been working all day. I ain't did shit. He's like, no, listen to the show. Call me back. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. I go to Kroger. I start listening to the show. Thank God I had my headphones in. Jesus. I wasn't even halfway through, and I'm calling Kevin like, dude, I'm going to make sure I'm there at the next one. But how did that shit get off the rails that fast?
For starters, it started with the fact that Tony started talking about his escapades at wrestling shows, and then it just fucking morphed into Tyler and me calling people faggots, and it was not good.
I don't know who was worse. I don't know if it was the wrestling guys or the MMA guys, but it went
I
off.
I think they just played off each other and created a cocktail that was not very good.
A potpourri of bad ideas.
But started a shitstorm.
You guys have Moneyball on Snapchat?
Yeah.
If you don't have Moneyball on Snapchat, you need to get that kid
on
Snapchat.
He's trying to train crackheads at the gas station.
He works night shift at a gas station in the ghetto, and I think it's on like Eastside or something, and man, he has the craziest Snapchat stories. Like, he's teaching crackheads how to box in the gas station, and doing some crazy shit. He had a crackhead laying down on his floor. She wouldn't leave because she was tired. She had her shirt rolled up to her, like, their tits, her belly yep. out, and she was just laying on the floor. She's like, I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap right here. And he was trying to drag her out of the
store. He goes, you got to go outside. She's like, it's too cold. I'm staying right here.
She's like, all
right,
you're not going
to. That's a Diddy crackhead. Now, that's an Eastside crackhead.
Man, yeah, he's got the craziest. His Snapchat story today was, I don't know why we found the SFS shirt at our gym.
No.
So I saw some of it, and he was like walking over, and he was like wiping the mats with it and stomping on it. I was like, oh my God, this cause
man, you guys are still beefing, huh?
No chill. Not really. I mean, I don't know. It depends what you call beef. They had the whole Cody and James Gray thing, but he's in Cody's rear view now. You know what I mean? Cody's way ahead of him, way out of his league now. So that fight is never going to happen. You know, they got a couple good guys out there, but results speak for themselves. Our guys are, you know, doing big things in big places. So,
oh yeah, yeah. You guys got a couple guys in the UFC.
Two guys right now. Yep.
Two.
Jared Brooks and Cody Stamann.
Jared Brooks just got robbed in Brazil, dude.
How long ago was that?
Just a week or two.
October 28th.
Okay, yeah. I think I missed that one, but
it was it was really fucking bad. But I mean, you don't beat a Brazilian guy by decision. It was really bad. But if you watch that fight, it was I don't know. It was a fucking terrible call. It was so bad.
And shout out to Cody for winning his last fight.
Yeah,
gotta get Cody on the show. In
two fights in, he's ranked 14th now.
Oh, he's ranked now.
He's ranked 14th in
the
UFC. Well,
the last kid he fought was supposed to be the next big thing, dude.
Right.
Yep.
Shout out. Hey, we gotta get Cody on the show.
Been working
he's,
on that.
Yeah, he'll get on the show. He's working a lot right now, but he's trying to fight Brian Caraway. He's ranked, I think, in the top 10.
Misha Tate's boyfriend.
But okay, the question I have for you guys. So we had the wrestling and the MMA guys here. One of the questions I asked them was, and Manib had a great story about this. So, what happens when someone comes into your gym who's a little bit arrogant and said, "Oh, you know, I fought this many times. How do you guys humble a guy that comes into your gym that, you know, needs to be broken down a little bit? Who wants to go first?
Well, we have Darren Cruikshank, the humbling king. We have a lot of those guys that come in and they're, you know, I just want to spar with you guys. Like, I already know this stuff. I fought enough times, man. I fought a lot. I want to spar. Darren loves that shit. Darren loves that shit. Do you have any sparring gear? No. All right, we'll get you some. Darren pads them up real nicely, and man, fucking beats the shit out of them. I've seen him beat guys off the mats, you know what I'm saying? Like, kicking guys, body shots, and punch them in the face. And those guys, I love those. When they come in and Darren starts patting them up, everybody just sits back on the wall, like, all right, well, we're going to hold training today. We're going to watch this shit. So I've never had to personally beat up anybody, but that's because Darren gets to them first, always. You know, they come in, they talk to him. Hey, I just want to spar. I'm like, all right, put your shit on. Let's go.
But if I remember that story correctly, you had to beat Manib off of a guy, didn't you?
Manib told us that you had to pull him off some guy because they were beating him and Tyler were beating the shit out of some guy.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. So Manib was teaching class. I didn't know what was going on. I was just finishing up training. Manib started teaching one of the beginner classes. And this kid was just really cocky, and
he wanted to run the stairs.
Yeah, he came in late, had to run stairs, wouldn't run stairs, so whatever. And then he like swore at Manib, and Manib's a little guy, so not a lot of people are intimidated by him. So, I guess he swore at Manib. I was just like on the sideline, and then I hear the commotion, so I go over there, break it up. I talk to the kid. I'm like, hey, you know, you need to relax, listen to the coaches. This is what we're here for. No, I'm good. I was like, I'm gonna let you back on the mats. Don't do anything stupid. And like 2 minutes later, I hear shit going on. I turn around and they have, you know, and this kid's on the floor and they're beating the fuck out of this kid. And I'm just like, holy fuck. So I come running in. I'm trying to break it up. So I like shoulder check both of them off of them and I grab them and like people are pulling them apart, like trying to tear them off of them. And like they keep slipping away and they're getting kicks and punches. And I'm like, I'm literally, this kid's on his back and I've got him by one of his legs and I'm pulling him off the mat. I'm just like running back, like trying to get this kid off the mat. I'm trying to save this kid's life. Little punk ass kid. So I finally grab him. I get him to like the stairway and I like close the door behind me. And I yell at him when even Tyler, I'm like, you know, finally calm them down. I'm yelling at them. They're, you know, they're chilled at this moment. I go back to the stairs, and the kid's walking up the stairs, and he's like, no, I'm going back and fuck these guys up. And I'm just like, man, this is what they do. Like, they, what do you mean you're going to fuck these guys up? Like, this is, they fight. No, fuck that, this and that. And I, like, walk him, like, halfway down the stairs, and I'm trying to talk to this kid. I'm trying to be calm. You know, like, this kid's fucking beat up, and I'm just like, you can't do this shit. This is a martial arts gym. Like, we fight every single day. Fuck that, I fight on the streets, blah, blah, blah. And we're in the stairs.
I love when people say
and we're in the stairs, and he looks at me. He's like, I'll fucking do it with you right now. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, nobody's even here to break it up. If I start whooping your ass right now, like, there is no way out. The way out is you getting knocked down by throwing the park.
So you felt sorry for the ass whooping you were about to give him.
And I'm just like, looking at this kid. I'm like laughing. He's like, what are you laughing about? He's like, knuckle up. I'll fuck you up right now. And I was just like, oh. So I don't know if you guys know who Leroy Johnson is.
Oh, shit.
He's one of our heavyweights. He's 265. Well, he fights at 265, which he cuts to make that weight.
Ooh.
He walks around like 285, 290. He's a big dude. And
that's,
he's
a big son bitch.
He is a big motherfucker. He's scary. He's like real quiet and timid, but when he like gets angry, he gets like really fucking scary. And like, and Leroy opens up the door to walk into the gym and he hears me arguing with this kid and he like looks and doesn't know what's going on. He looks at me, he's like, Mo, you need me to toss him out? And the kid just like fucking pale as a ghost, just like. And I looked at the kid. I was like, you want to get tossed out or you want to leave? And he was just like, no, I'll go. And he just walks out. Leroy walks, he's like, what's going on? I told him the story and he was just like, oh, I heard him cussing and stuff, so I thought you and me drag him out. I was just like, this poor little kid, like, I'll beat the shit out of him in the stairs and there was nobody there to break it up. And I'm just like, I gotta be calm and cool. I can't fuck this kid up right now.
I don't
like to fight for free.
I had to get the other side of that story.
They're fighting.
Josh, you got one of those, man?
Honestly, no. Most people that come in a fuse, you know, the first thing Don tells him is, like, you know, check your ego at the door. You know, if not, you're not at the right place. So, I mean, everyone that comes in the Fuse is really cool. Like, we even have guys that have fought each other before in pro fights, amateur fights.
I think Don said that when he was there, too.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, dude, we're all about just getting better, helping each other out. So, I mean, I wish I had a story like that.
It's funny. It's like, I want to whip somebody.
No, yeah, I'd love to do that. But.
The only time I've ever seen anything like that with Don, period, I watched Don kind of beat up on a guy once because he come in talking about he had this big wrestling pedigree and all that shit. He didn't beat him up like that, but he, you know, the guy, he pretty much thought he was going to come in and play tough guy, and he thought his wrestling was going to help him.
Man. Well, we got about 6 minutes. Kyle, you got any last
words for your guys' opponents? Mo, since you've been going second, what's your any last words for your opponent?
Oh, man, hands up, chin down. Everybody knows I'm a striker. Everybody knows I like to, you know, punch and kick and knee and elbow. Just keep your hands up. Do what you got to do. But, you know, at the end of the night, it doesn't matter. You know, like I said, I'm 5-0 at 155, and I'm keeping that streak going. I'm going to be 6-0 after this. I'm going to have 4 finishes. You know, this is the best training camp I've had. You know, no doubt. No doubt in my mind I'm going to come out victorious this fight. And, you know, I told you guys the same thing last time, and I'm going to say the same thing this time. I'm finishing him.
Josh?
Yeah, man. I'm coming out to win this fight. I've trained super hard. One of the best training camps I've had, personally. And I feel like no matter what Devin Smith does that night, he just will not come out the better man. So I'm excited to put on a show for the fans. I hope he comes ready to fight. And, you know, if we go at it for 3 rounds, that'd be awesome, but I'd love to finish the fight, and I see it ending in the second round for sure.
Any titles on the line in any of these fights?
No, fortunately not.
Okay. Kyle, got any last?
Be there, motherfucker. That's it.
I can't. I'm going to piggyback off of that.
Thank you to our guests for coming, both Mo and Josh, and thank you again to Sam Alvey. Hopefully we're going to have him back more in long form next time. You know, check these guys out, WXC70, UFC Fight Pass, Wayne Hype Athletic Center.
All right. And Josh, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media and any sponsors you have out there?
Yeah, one more time, follow me at Josh Bruckner on Instagram and Facebook. It's last name is Bruecknr. And sponsors, I got Title Boxing Club, Macomb and Shelby, Fit Body 360, Fit Foods RX, Dapper Gents Barbershop, LPC Inc. Draw a blank. It's a lot to remember under pressure. You know, I get in that cage every time and be like, I just want to thank. And
go ahead, right
forget.
Right, yeah, I got to write next time. Like, right?
I had to put that on my shoe. Right? Yeah. So I just want to thank them for helping me out. Oh, and Cage in the Cave as well.
Any last words for your opponent, man?
Dude, come ready to fight, man. I'm going to bring it. So,
alrighty.
Good luck.
Mo, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there for the people. And
Facebook, Muhammad El-Shatri. It's A-L-S-H-A-T-R-I. El-Shatri MMA on both Twitter and Instagram. Like I said, I'm very active, so you can always reach me on there.
But private. Your Instagram's private.
Is it?
Yeah.
I made it public, I thought.
Nope.
Oh, well,
see?
That's the voice of our engineer.
My fiance is slacking.
God, is that you?
I guess I gotta make that public. I thought I made that public before, but because somebody said they couldn't share my stuff, and I thought I did for the last fight, but maybe I changed it. But yeah, check me out. Follow me. I'll follow back. I love talking to people. My sponsors, Endgame, making all my clothes. Realtor Anthony Fawaz, Cora Thompson with Thrive, Clark Systems. MTT, DJJ, you know, Exotic Flooring with Javier. So I appreciate all the support and all the help that I've been getting this training camp, and I'm ready to fuck somebody up on Saturday.
And real quick, maybe like a minute, why don't you go ahead and talk about your gym? And Josh, I'll give you the same opportunity too.
Michigan Top Team, man, we started off in a garage. I remember when we first started training, we didn't have nowhere to go, and then DJJ Detroit just took us in, and now we're right upstairs from them. We're in Dearborn, Michigan. We start at 4:30 usually. Classes start, and we don't get out of there till like 8:30, 9 o'clock. You know, we have beginner classes, and then we have advanced classes early on. So come check us out.
And why don't you go ahead and throw out some of the names of people that's
Oh, man, we have a UFC vet, obviously Darren Cruikshank, Cody Stamann, Jared Brooks, Jason Fisher, Leroy Johnson. I mean, shit, I can sit here and name guys for days, man, that come out of that gym. Everybody knows us. You know, we take the tough fights. We're the team that, you know, goes out and takes the tough fights, fights anybody, anywhere, anytime.
All right. And if anybody wants to come sign up at MTT, you know, how do they do that?
Man, just walk in. You know, like I said, we open up at 4:30 every day, and just walk in. One of the coaches or somebody will be at the front desk, or, you know, talk to one of the fighters, whoever you see, first person you see. Everybody's super friendly. We're like a family in there, you know. Like, those are the same guys I hang out with, you know, once I leave the gym. You right. know, I don't have any other mm-hmm. friends. Those are my friends. Those are my family. Like, we train 6 days a week. And then on Saturdays, we hang out and watch UFC fights and talk shit to each other. It's just, you know, we're a family. We're a real close-knit. So, you know, anybody that's been there knows how we are, you know. So,
right.
come on and check us out.
Just don't ask to spar.
Don't make that mistake. Yeah, do not make that mistake. And if Darren starts patting you up, just walk out. Turn around, go the other
Darren
way.
Darren offers you headgear, it's a problem.
Good, man.
Josh, why don't you go ahead and talk about your gym, man, and how people can sign up.
Of course. So I train at Fuse MMA. First class is free if you want to come check it out. The head coach is Don Richards, so he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu and judo.
Shout out to Big Don.
Yeah, exactly. He's been on the show before, too. We got Bobby Nash and Miles Jury. They're both in the UFC. You probably
Miles
heard
Jury,
of them
another
if you're from Michigan. Yeah, yep, exactly. And we got a bunch of pros that train there. We got people that just want to train for fun, like, there's a bunch of different levels. So we got beginner jiu-jitsu, advanced jiu-jitsu, gi jiu-jitsu, no gi jiu-jitsu, wrestling practice, MMA practice, striking. So, I mean, we do it all. Come check it out. 17 in Harper. Like I said, first one free, so.
All righty. Kyle, why don't you throw your social medias out there real quick?
Don't say it's like here. That. Do us individually,
I'm
damn it.
I'm sorry.
He's all together.
Mr. Kyle Collison, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there for people?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram.
Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram. Do it for the Gram.
Picky up on that, Mr. Gram.
at Detroit, NOKOUT, Detroit Knockout on Twitter and Instagram. On Facebook, you can find me. Kyle Collison, and check out the group too.
Mr. Kyle Campbell.
Yes, the sultry voices of Mr. Campbell. what's up? This is Kyle, also known as Chaos. You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Team Chaos, TEAMKAYOS. Facebook, Kyle J. Campbell. And we love getting this out there. So anybody that does listen or watches us, I'm trying to upload it on YouTube. We appreciate any comments, feedback, and any questions.
Yes, sir.
Like and share our page on Facebook, too. Knockouts and Three Counts, the page. We are on Twitter at KO3CPod. Check us out.
Yes. Shout out to Kevin, too. Made in the 80s, _ Made in the 80s. Our other co-hosts couldn't be here today.
And make sure you check out the group, Reality News Era, on Facebook. Go ahead and send a request. We'll add you to the group. I'm Devin McKenzie. My Twitter is Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllSteakNoSizzle. Hit me up on Facebook at Devin McKenzie. Check out my other podcast, All State No Sizzle. Cheap plug. And once again, thank you, Mr. Sam Alvey, for joining the show, man. That was truly an honor. Thank you, Ben, for helping me set that up. With all that being said, thank you for listening. Peace.
Oh, that was sweet.